If you remember, the last thing we talked about in Mark chapter number 1, we spent a couple of sessions talking about the preaching ministry of Jesus as He began His earthly ministry. He began with a ministry of preaching. And I want to say this, the emphasis that in Scripture when it comes to ministry is always on preaching the Word. The proclamation of God's Word is always the first priority in the ministry. You say, why do you say that? Well, because I think that many times that pecking order of ministry is out of whack in a lot of Christian lives, in a lot of churches, in a lot of ministries in our day. I think that preaching has taken a back seat to a lot of other things, when in reality, the first thing that Jesus did was He proclaimed or preached the Word. And even we could go deeper into that, but I'll say this. When Paul was instructing his protege Timothy in the ministry, he told him this: preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Doesn't matter what the circumstances you're in, be always ready to preach and proclaim the Word of God. And then in verse number 29, after His preaching ministry resulted in His fame being cast abroad, shown abroad around that area, He began a different kind of ministry. And we're going to look at that in verse number 29. The Bible says this: and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her. That word anon, if you ever wondered what that means, it really just means quickly. They tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore I came forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I need your help, God, to convey this message in the way that you conveyed it into my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would do that in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to show you a different sector of the ministry of Jesus here. Now, he starts in the first part of his ministry in this town that he's in with a preaching ministry. He goes into the temple and he stands up on the Sabbath day and begins to preach and to teach from the Word of God and to reason with the people and try to convince them and show them, reveal himself to them, that he is the Messiah. And once he does that, there is a crowd that starts showing up that wants to see him do something beyond that. They want to see signs and miracles that they have heard and been told would follow this one who was the Messiah. And so Jesus, in this latter part of his ministry in this town, gives us a picture of his healing ministry, or you could even call it his miraculous ministry, because he didn't only heal diseases, but he also casted out demons and devils, and he did these things that were miraculous, were outside of the laws of nature. He did these things that could not be done by anybody else. And so I want to show you some things, because I believe that we have a tendency to try to emulate this portion of Jesus' ministry without really understanding how it works. And we have a desire in our society
to be able to heal and to cast out devils and demons and all these things. And I don't think that we really understand how this thing went down. So I want to try to show you tonight a few things about this healing ministry of Jesus. First of all, I want you to see that the healing ministry of Jesus came natural to him. Look at verse number 29. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Jesus had left the synagogue here. He had left the place where he was preaching and teaching. And he had gone, he left there and he went back to basically his buddy's house. He went back to a place where his disciples were gathered together at so that he could spend some time teaching and ministering to them on a personal level, eat a meal with them, spend some time with them and their families and all of this type of thing. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Is everybody awake?
Yes.
All right, three of y'all are awake. Stay with me, y'all three. But, verse number 30, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Now, let me put to you like this. The only thing worse than having your mother-in-law staying at your house is having your mother-in-law staying at your house because she's sick. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Hey. Well, listen, Simon was in a bind right here. His mother-in-law was laying in the bed, sick with a fever. Now, I don't know that I understand the depth of all of this, and I can explain to you exactly what the sickness was, but I can tell you this. If you've got a fever that does not allow you to get up out of the bed, that's a pretty bad situation.
Yeah.
That's a pretty rough sickness. And when Jesus comes into the house, the Bible says that they told him about her quickly. You say, well, why did they do that? Well, I think a couple reasons. One reason was probably because they thought that maybe he could do something to help her. Another reason was maybe Peter wanted to make sure that Jesus understood what he was walking into. Hey, man, listen, I know you're coming over to eat and hang out with us and everything. You need to understand now, everything ain't all roses and sunshine over here. I got my mother-in-law back here. She's real sick. She's bad off. We got her in the back room back here. Y'all understand what I'm saying right here? If you need to go to the bathroom, you're going to have to go around the bed she's in to get to it. That's the way things work. You understand that whenever you have a situation going on in your home, you might have to explain yourself right out of the gate when somebody shows up. Now, he came, verse number 31, listen to this. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now, everybody take a time out right here for just a second. We're not going to hear nothing else about Simon's mother-in-law. You're not going to come across anything else in this entire account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ concerning the mother-in-law of Simon, who we also call Peter. This is it. This is her only appearance. She just happened to be at Peter's house, and Jesus did, listen to me, what came natural to him to do. Although it does not seem natural to be able to heal somebody from a sickness in this miraculous way, Jesus, what came natural to him was to use his power to, look what he did, he lifted her up out of that bed. And I want to say this, Jesus was always using his power to lift up those around him, whether they were caught in a disease, whether they were caught in a lost condition, whether they were caught in a demon-possessed condition, whether they were hurt or needed comfort or whatever it was that they needed. Jesus used his power. His natural inclination was to use his power to lift up those around him, and he didn't make a big deal out of it. He said, what are you getting at, preacher? He wasn't putting on a show right here. He wasn't doing this for attention. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
He did what he did because that's what he does. Christian, if we are going to operate in the power of God, you're going to have to understand some things. You cannot operate in God's power if your purpose is to gain attention for yourself. ain't going to work. Because can't but one get the glory. You cannot operate in God's power for the purpose of entertainment. It ain't going to work. Jesus, if we are to emulate Him, if we're going to be Christians, we're going to be like Jesus and emulate the way He does things. When He operated in His power, in His miraculous power, He did so for a couple of reasons. Number one, because it was natural to Him to lift up those around Him with what He had ability to do. And not only that, He did it because it was the right thing to do, not because He thought it was going to get everybody to applaud Him. This is such an interesting story because it says that He healed her, He lifted her up, she came out of the bed, and then she ministered to Him. He said, what is that? Well, they just went back to doing what they were doing. They didn't have a Peter's mama got healed party. Right? They didn't call the newspaper. You ain't going to believe this. Peter's mama had a fever, and now she don't. They didn't stop and have a celebration. You say, why? Because this is how it's supposed to happen. When Jesus shows up, people are supposed to get healed. When Jesus walks in your house and you're sick, you're supposed to not be sick no more by the time He leaves. That's how the thing's supposed to work. That ain't supposed to be shocking. He was just doing what He does. Can I tell y'all something? God does good things because God is good, and that's what He does. And you know, they're Don't get it twisted here. It's not based on how good you are. It's based on how good He is. Amen. God's not good because you've done something. God's good because God is God. God's not powerful because you conjured up the right spell to cast. To make. I get sick of this in churches, Brother Brian. You go in and we got to do everything. We got to do it A, B, C, D, E, F, G in this order, this way, this loud, and this quiet, and for this long, and standing like this, and then maybe God will show up because I reckon God's bound by how whether or not you do all your motions right. But the reality is God was God before you was ever thought of. God didn't need your help to part the Red Sea. God didn't need your help to flood the earth. God didn't need your help to create the earth. God is God. I like what God told Job. God told Job, Job started questioning. Well, I've been pretty good, God, and you put me in this situation. How come it's got to be like this? And here's what God said to him. He didn't even acknowledge that question. He said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I set forth the dinosaurs on this thing, put the stars in the sky? Where were you at, Job? I don't remember you being there giving me no input. You know what he was saying right there? In a real nice way, he was saying, Job, shut up, because you don't know what you're talking about. And I think sometimes we need to have a realization that you are not God. I am not God. I'm not in control of this thing. And God does what He does because it's what He does. He's sovereign. And what comes natural to Him and what ought to come natural to His people is to lift up those around Him. Now, understand something. Although Jesus did not do this for the purpose of drawing attention, I want you to see something. The miraculous ministry of Jesus, when He started instituting these miraculous works, it did bring attention to His ministry. Look at verse number 32. And at even when the sun did set, they, who are they? I don't know. It might have been His disciples. Might have been whoever His disciples told about this. I just imagine it like this because this is how I grew up. I imagine it like this. Let's say Jesus' disciples live in Bakertown. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Y'all, this is a stretch, but just stay with me. And Jesus has done gone over to Jim Bob's house and healed his mama from a fever. Well, you know, later on that evening, old JB's probably going to ride down to Bridgeville, get him a can of snuff. And while he's standing around the counter at Bridgeville, he's going to say, boys, y'all ain't believe what just happened. I mean, Jesus come to my house, and I seen Him grab a hold to a woman that was sick near unto death and stand her up out of the bed. And she went cooking supper. And they probably went, oh, well,
I got one you can heal right down here in my house. Amen. If it comes with supper cooking. Uh-oh. I done quit preaching and going to meddling now. Listen, word spread pretty quick. I'll tell you what will happen when miraculous things start happening. Word will spread pretty quick. You get. Let me tell you something. When God starts operating in a miraculous way, you will not have to buy an advertisement on your local TV station for people to find out what's going on. When Jesus starts interacting in your life in a miraculous way, word's going to get out pretty quick. These things have a way of spreading. When the power of God is revealed in a real and powerful way, folks want to see it for themselves. I remember 2016, I've talked about this a lot before, but summer of 2016, in Burlington, North Carolina, there was a revival going on. Trying to remember I believe the name of the church that started at was Bethel. Anyway, God moved in on this meeting. Brother C.T. Townsend was preaching. It's supposed to be a week-long revival meeting. They extended it 2 weeks. Got to the end of the 2 weeks and just didn't feel like they could quit it. So they extended another week. And before they knew it, they had this church so full that they couldn't contain everybody. It was a problem. Honestly, they had cars parked all out in the street, traffic. The cops was getting involved. It was a big mess. So they went to a man in the church, a businessman in the community, owned a car lot. And beside of his car lot, right beside Highway 40, right at the edge of 210 Highway 40, he had just so happened to have a big old piece of land that was just sitting there. And he said, I'll tell you what y'all do. Y'all go out there and set a tent up. That's what we'll do. And so they did. They called Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. He happened to have a big tent that hold about 3,000 or 4,000 people. They brought it down there. They set it up. The first night that tent was up, I was in Burlington, North Carolina. I'll never forget it long as I live. When we went by the tent, we got there about 3 or 4 hours early. We went by the tent. There was just a few people out there milling about, you know. And I said, well, let's go up to the next exit and get us something to eat. So we did. We came back about an hour before the meeting was set to start that night. We could not get off the highway because of the car. We ended up having to park 3 or 4 miles away at an elementary school, and they had a church bus that was running back and forth shoveling people over to the tent. This went on for, I think it was 15 weeks, something like that, 10, 11, 12 weeks, something like 1,500 to 2,000 people got saved in this revival meeting. And I'm going to tell you exactly what C.T. Townsend said about it. I ain't going to tell you what I think about it. I'm going to tell you what he said about it. A couple years ago, I was at his church at a conference. And here's what he said. He said, I know that we could not recreate what happened at Burlington because we tried. He said, we went back the next year. Setting the tent up again. It wasn't the same. We went to this town, to that town, over here and over there, set it up again, tried to do it again. Didn't work like that. He said, what happened right there was God done something that was in His power, not in our power. And when that happened, you didn't have to take out a billboard advertisement to let nobody know what was going on. I'm telling you, I sat and watched with my own eyes as people pulled off the side of Highway 40 and stood in the back of pickup trucks to listen to what was going on under this tent. Wow. I've never seen nothing like it before or since. Say, what happened right there? God started doing miracles, real, true, miraculous acts, changing lives, and word got out. Jesus right here in this little town in Galilee started doing miracles, and all of a sudden, folks wanted to see for themselves. Folks that had given up the idea of hope realized that they may still have a chance to get some help. So what happened? Look at verse number 32. When the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door.
And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. It brought attention. Can I say this, church? We've figured out how to manufacture a crowd in church. Here's what I've learned in my years in ministry. And I ain't had that many, but here's what I've learned. I've learned that if you just let God be God, then he'll get a hold of who he wants to get a hold of. And I ain't against advertising. And I ain't against marketing. I'm for all of that, and I've done all of that, and I'm going to keep doing all of that. But God don't need my help. Never has. Jesus didn't need nobody to prove him out right here. His miracles spoke for themselves. I got to hurry. Not only that, but look at verse number 35. His healing ministry came naturally. It brought attention. But I also want you to see this. It brought stress on him. Look at verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, you can say what you want to. There's some people that would probably call me crazy for preaching stuff like this, but I'm just stupid enough to think that Jesus made himself in the form of a man and took on every aspect of a man so that we could see what it was like for God to be a man. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Now, listen to what he did. He left early in the morning, a great while before day, and he went to a solitary place. Now, you tell me what would drive you to feel like that you needed to get up a great time before morning and go somewhere where there won't nobody else at. Sounds to me like there was too many folks trying to get to him at one time. You know what that sounds to me like? That sounds to me like he didn't want nobody to know what he was doing. You look in the next verse, we'll get into it in a minute, but the disciples had to go find him. You know why they had to go find him? Because they didn't know where he was at. He didn't leave a note. Yeah. Listen to this. This is one of those times when Jesus just needed to get alone with the Father for a minute. For whatever reason, this mob that had been created by his intervention, miraculous intervention in this town, had caused such a stir that it had driven him to a place where he felt like he needed to go and get away. Can I say something, Christian? When God starts moving in your life and working in your life, there's going to be some times when you just need to go get away for a minute. Son, there's going to be some times when you just need to go get along with God. But look at this. Even in that, his disciples wouldn't let up on him. Look at verse number 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to preach this last part fast, but y'all hear me out right here. I'll be honest with you. I kind of understand what Jesus was up against right here. God had started moving. Jesus had started moving in a miraculous way in this town. Right? His ministry was taking off. And it became so overwhelming that he said, man, I just need a minute. I need a minute alone with my Father. And so he made his plan, Brother Jimmy. He got up early, didn't tell nobody where he was going, didn't tell nobody what he was doing. He snuck off to a solitary place. And before he could get going good, he hears Simon's voice. Jesus, you up here anywhere? Hey, Lord, where are you at? I kind of know what he feels like right there. And I ain't just talking about pastors. I got three kids. Y'all got children. You ever just felt like I need to just slip out of here? I just need a minute to collect my thoughts for just a moment. Y'all ever just slipped off to the bathroom and shut the door, and you see them little fingers coming up underneath the door? I don't know what they think they're going to accomplish with that, but they all do it.
That's right.
That's what it was like right here. He was like, man, I'm just trying to get along with the Father for just a minute. And he couldn't even do that because they were still pursuing after him. And listen how excited Peter was. He said, everybody's looking for you, Jesus. Like that was supposed to excite him.
You ever let God start working in your life, friend? You will quickly realize this. You're going to be pulled in a dozen different directions. And here's the rub. They're all good. They all need your attention. And there ain't no way you can take care of all of them at the same time without help from the Father. Remember this when you're overwhelmed. If you become overwhelmed serving God, wouldn't it make sense to realize that He knows exactly what's going on? Say, preacher, I'm trying to do right, but the more I try to do right, the more everybody's after me. I know that's what's supposed to happen. That's what's supposed to happen. But understand something. You're going to have to get some power from Him if you're going to deal with all that at one time. His healing ministry came natural. It brought attention. It brought stress. But then I want you to see this and I'll be done. It opened opportunity. Look at Jesus' response to this. Now, Peter just said, he said, everybody around here is looking at you. That's the redneck version. All right? Now, this is a pivotal point, a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus. Here's why. I can tell you what pretty much every other preacher that ever lived would have done right here. I can tell you what I would have done right here. Are y'all with me? Say amen. I'm almost done. I would have gone back to this town where everybody was after me, trying to get a piece of me and loving me and thinking I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I would have set me up a storefront right slap in the middle of downtown. Oh, yes, I'd have hired me 3 or 4 staff members to get the line right with the velvet rope out front. And I mean, we'd have had an offer. You wouldn't have believed the size of the offering plate I'd had, Brother Jim. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered how much they brought, I could accept it. Cash, credit, check, Venmo, Cash App, amen. Oh, yes, they'd have been doing expose interviews on me on the front page of the newspaper. The new preacher in town, healing everybody. Fixing everything. He's got here comes Jesus. He's got all the answers. Why I've been writing books. Man, what are you talking about? I know preachers that if they say they're gonna write a book, the publishing company will give them $10,000-$20,000 just to think about getting started writing a book. You imagine what they'd give him? I mean, how I healed everybody in this town. In Togaville. The 12 steps to being able to cast out devils. Man, I'd have been signing autographs. The whole bit. And all the while, doing legitimate good. You understand? It would have been good for that to happen. But had that have happened, had Jesus had set up his ministry in this town where he was well loved and well respected and well known, a huge opportunity would have been missed. Look what he said when Peter said, everybody's looking for you. Look what he said, verse number 38. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore I came forth. Two things he said right there. Number one is that preaching is the main thing. That's why I'm here. I ain't just here to heal everybody. I'm here to preach. Not only that, he said, we're going to have to go to another place. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Listen, real God-driven ministry opens opportunities beyond the direct impact that we can see. If we close our minds to the point that all we can see is those who we are directly impacting, then we're missing the opportunities and the doors that God's opening. then people in them other towns needed help too. See, he had a lot of people in this town. You say, but preacher, there was a lot of people in this town that needed help. Yeah, but there was people in them other towns that needed help too. And they hadn't yet had an opportunity. And they had heard about what he had done there. And their hearts were opened, and their minds were opened. And now was the time to press on and spread the word. Understand this about serving God and doing ministry work. Understand this. There is a time to wait on God and be patient for God to move. And all. And then there's a time to strike while the iron is hot and go when it's time to go. There's a time to move forward in the power of God and spread the word. Sometimes it's time to sit still.
When Moses and the Israelites had their back to the Red Sea, staring down the barrel of Egypt's armies, bearing down on them, didn't know what to do. There was no way out. You know what they had to do? Moses told them, stand still. See what God does. There's a time to stand still. But when God called Jonah and told him that there was a finite timeline for how long it was going to be before Nineveh was going to be destroyed, you know what he told him? It's time to go. We got to learn how to find the difference between time to wait and time to go. Jesus had done what he came to do in that town. He obviously hadn't healed everybody in that town. That's right. But he had given them all the word of God. Say, what's more valuable? Well, I can see what's more valuable to him. The preaching of the word of God. You can heal everybody in every town. But if you hadn't given them the word of God, you hadn't really done anything for them of any eternal value. His priority was on the preaching. And it was time to move to the next site of ministry. The miraculous ministry of Jesus opened opportunity. It was designed to open opportunity beyond where he was at.